back up.
All right.
I'm Jody Creamer, and I'm a community development.
Hi, Don Russo, Sean Williams, and Wyatt.
Eric Lima, SGA engineer.
Andrew Gunther, PLS engineer.
Mike Odrin, Olson engineer.
Steve Bacon, Clark Regional Wastewater.
I know Jeff Riston said he was not going to be available to attend today.
Everybody else keep going.
Oh, in the audience, sorry. Susan
Allen, community development.
Ron Swanson,
Clark
County Public Works.
Jeff Riston,
Clark County.
Deed meeting is being recorded and the audio will be posted on the deed's website. Do I have a motion for last meeting's minutes approved?
Mr. Chair, yeah. I've reviewed and made my comment as far as a correction is concerned via email, and I move to approve as written.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Okay, review of upcoming events. Do you need approval of the current agenda or?
No, I think I'm okay there.
Upcoming events, second page there on your agenda packet, Clark County Council work sessions and hearings. We have a work session on January the 9th, 2019, of course, 11 a.m. That's the biennial code amendments. So Jan Bazal is heading that up.
And those are the same ones we reviewed last fall?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. There are normal work sessions, of course, every Tuesday. So if you're looking for more there, you can find that on the county web page. Clark County Planning Commission hearings, the Planning Commission public hearing January 17th, 6:30 p.m. University District Code, which Matt Herman is here and will be presenting, previewing that with us. And then also a work session February 7th, 5:30 p.m. Urban holding removal near I-5 179th interchange.
Okay. Any member announcements?
I do have an announcement. At the direction of our county manager, Sean Hennessy has made some organizational changes. One of those does involve development engineering, and we are moving from public works back into community development. For those that have been in the community for some time, may recall that this is not a first time. I think we moved from community development kind of towards the beginning of the recession, so about 10 years ago we went into public works. And not to be too lengthy on this, but we're for those that know us and work with us, we're kind of a hybrid. We're kind of right there on the bubble between the development and the public works. Of course, we work very, very closely. We're an integral part of that entirety of the process as the applications come through community development. Our final product is largely a public works infrastructure, so that's why we're kind of a hybrid there. I think Sean, other managers are viewing it that as busy as what we are, and we're pretty much just continuously cranking through these applications, better to get us back aligned with community development and be part of that team. Our inspection group for the development projects will remain in public works. So that's kind of the being in both camps, if you will, that we're still doing. So that's as we're organized. It's not the only organizational change. You could probably go to that. I think it's, well, I don't know if it's on there. Is it on there already on the county website? It may not be. But there's other organizational changes that came out the first of the year, so we're just part of that. Our intent is that, from your view, this is to be entirely seamless. It's to be, you know, kind of maybe a contribution to get in closer with our partners in community development, which we already have great working relations there already, and just continue those, you know, humming along. But if there's anything from your perspectives that seems a little different or changed or not as good, let me know, and we'll take a look at that. So we're 2 days into this already. It's going great, right? You haven't even noticed.
I know Greg's mentioning Ott, you know, stepped down after this last year, so it sounds like we'll have his replacement for next meeting.
It will be in place in next meeting. Applicants have come in. Our county manager, I believe, has completed his review on that, and we're getting close to a final selection there. So,
anything else? Lori isn't here. Do we want to move?
Matt.
Okay, Matt, you're going to take it on. So, University District Title 40 code update.
Mine doesn't seem to be working. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
So obviously I'm not Lori Lebowski. Matt Herman with the organizational change. I am now with Public Works. Used to be in community planning. That change was again made first in the year. But I'm filling in for her. She had a last minute personal issue that she had to deal with. So I'm going to go through the PowerPoint presentation and try to answer any questions that you may have. I want to start off by acknowledging Lynn Ballinger is in the audience, who is Vice Chancellor for Washington State University Vancouver, and has been instrumental in this process. So to begin, last update of the university's master plan was done in 2007. They recently have gone through a master plan update process. This process is current. I don't know if it's been adopted by the university yet, but it includes primarily three main components. The addition of new academic buildings, new student building, and student housing in the form of dorms for the undergraduates. The university, along with the consultants involved in this, held multiple open houses with the neighbors as well as the community to discuss the changes in the master plan. The master plan, the addition of dormitories and student housing affects the county with its current code, section 43230050, which is the university zone in the Unified Development Code. The university district only applies to the university here, Washington State University of Vancouver. And it needs to be updated so the master plan can be updated and be executed, finalized. So the code that you see in your packet has the following change: to add dormitories to the use list as an allowed use. This code change is proposed for your recommendation. After it becomes finalized through the county, Washington State Vancouver will go through the Type 3 process for the development of the site. So you are the initial step of this process, meeting with you, getting your recommendation. We'll go on to the Planning Commission January 17th, work session and hearing on the same day. The day before that, Clark County Council will have a work session to review that, but will make its final decision on February 26th, 2019. And then following that, the effective date, should it be approved, would be March 8th, 2019. Pretty short presentation, but I'm hopefully going to answer any questions that you guys have.
I have a couple questions that you may not be able to answer.
Yeah.
But you can. Does the inclusion of the dormitories include any increase to food service?
It's not programmed, but there is a consideration of food service. But it's likely going to be a private partnership, so if the answer to that is it depends. We don't have a project that's willing to go on this. We can't really even have a concrete discussion until it's in the office.
I see. So you're waiting once the dormitories become, or once housing becomes allowed, then all the support services for it would then follow along.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't looked at this very closely to see if it's. It looks like food service is permitted outright.
Yeah, it is, and we already have a couple.
Okay, and then I would assume that through, and maybe Matt, you can answer this, that through the Type 3 master plan review, that there would be a traffic study associated with that, and what is the impact of.
We've already done a great deal of that work. It's just that we can't submit a revised master plan because it shows undergraduate housing and that's inconsistent with
the concept. Right.
So we're kind of on hold until this is.
Got it.
Okay.
I'm assuming any, as far as with the housing, then it'd be a requirement that they're enrolled at WCU Vancouver if they're going to be staying in the housing that's there on campus. If they're staying in the housing that's provided on campus, that it's required that they're currently enrolled at WCU Vancouver. I'm assuming that's required.
We don't have the policy level, but that's the way almost all housing works. There is some discussion, as you may or may not know, we have Clark College has a building on our campus, so there is some interest in potentially making it open to Clark College students as
sure.
well, but it's not intended to compete within the private sector.
Okay. That's all right.
I move to approve the suggested change as written.
I second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks.
You should stay the rest of the meeting when you sent the link.
John Harvey told me that you guys were actually a great group, and I would love to spend some time with you, but maybe you're not. Thank you very much.
Let's see. Jamie is not here.
Is he coming?
I haven't texted him or anything. Is there anyone else that's able to cover that topic?
We might just need to move that to the next meeting.
If he shows up.
Yeah, we'll just skip it down to the bottom, see if he shows up. Okay, Susan and Mike, your crack at Project Delivery Stakeholders Detail Group.
I feel like Jamie's sitting in this chair. It's Jamie's place. Okay, so you might remember last month we went over, and I can pass out. Does anybody happen to have this, or do you need any
copies? I asked them all to bring theirs with them.
You did.
So that we could discuss it.
But here are some extras, just in case.
Good thinking.
Whoops.
So this is a table of the items that the group was looking at, and we also handed out, and I will pass out a few more of these as well, some checklists. Um,
There weren't any changes made from the last time.
Nope. So, the first thing we wanted to review is a consolidated type 2, 2A, and 3 submittal requirement checklist. This is pretty long. What this does is consolidate checklists that are in many handouts that we have for land use processes and the code. And they were not significantly different, but they were different in some places. And so this puts all of those requirements into one checklist that applicants and our staff can use. So it's absolutely clear which items are required for which applications. And it covers a lot of our main submittals. That was the intent behind it. We can go item by item if you'd like. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to take a look at this. If you have any questions about specific things, we can also address that. Do you have anything you want to
add? I might suggest that we don't go item by item because this is exhaustive.
I did this last month.
Yeah, this is... This really is pulling in all of the other checklists together and aligning it with code. This is not anything that you haven't seen before. The few items that are highlighted, at least on the old one, a few advisory things, for instance, that the GIS packet hasn't expired, that the pre-app hasn't expired, and as far as the sewer and water utility letters also haven't expired. I would like to mention just one thing regarding that, and it's come up just recently on a project that we had, and is very timely, is that it is unclear as to when the utility review letters need to be valid for. For instance, we have submitted an application or a couple applications in the past where the utility review letters were valid at the time of calendar complete, but expired during fully complete, and therefore we were not fully complete in part as a result of that. I think that needs to be clarified.
Okay.
And that at this point in time, as I've checked both the code and the current checklist, that should not disqualify, that should not be a part of the non-fully complete determination and should be advisory that the utility reviews need to be updated prior to the 30-day issues meeting. And I would like to go back to my office and let them know that since they were valid at the time of submittal and expired during the fully complete review, that that will not be a part of the fully complete review, but that we will submit updated and current valid utility review letters at that time. But I think that that needs to be, it says a current less than 6 months old utility review letter from the public sewer purveyor, same with water, but I think it needs to be clear as to when that is and what the date is. Fully complete could go on for some people a month or more. For some, it's a couple of weeks. We should make it clear, so I don't know how you want to do that. But, that does need to be clarified. And I can follow up with you on the specifics of that one project after the meeting. And then there was some question as to the fact that the Clark County Health Department letters are still indicated in code and in the current checklist that they're only required if septic or wells are proposed. And I know that the Health Department has presented
here.
What's that?
Or present. Right? So there's two different letters that they have. Because it talks about abandonment.
Clark County Public Health Project Review Letter must be submitted if the project if the proposed development is planning to use wells or septic systems. This evaluation is conducted to identify any on-site water wells or septic systems and confirm that the use of wells and or septic systems is feasible. It is not necessarily clear.
It isn't clear because the title says when they're proposed, and then the language it says if, for existing wells.
If use of wells or septic systems is proposed. It's a little clearer on here, but it should be made clear that this is required for every application, unless specifically waived or...
And I think they're trying to use the same letter for everything now.
Yeah.
And right? So they do have existing and if they're proposed.
Oh.
I think they're trying to combine them, but I could be wrong.
Really, no. You can do it if there's no wells on site and you're not proposing any.
Shouldn't have to.
That's an extra piece that
you don't
necessarily need.
We talked about that when they came and presented to us and said that they're going to require it for fully complete. I don't think that loop was ever closed.
Okay.
As far as the code is concerned, because the code still states exactly what's in here.
Okay.
And I know that we're trying to not go into code with this, but that I think needs to be clarified in code as far as the submittal requirements are concerned.
Okay, so just make sure I know. I want to make sure I understand exactly what would you like this to say? Do you like this language, or would you like this language to change?
I think what the language in here is, it's clearly a submittal requirement in this application. We were deemed not fully complete, in part because we did not submit one, because we are not proposing the use of wells or septic systems.
Okay.
It's strictly not proposing, and there's none on site right now. It's an extra step that could be eliminated. Or
right.
Just state that in A, and then maybe you can do that.
I mean, there is the note that it does need to be submitted prior to final engineering, and we've always known that. But at the time, I think it needs to be clear.
Okay.
The health department's going to say
they want to review it.
They want to review it. I've got a portion of a site that I'm working on right now that was previously developed, previously went through a health department review, and we're still having to go through a new one because the application has expired.
So I'll follow up with them.
Okay.
Make sure that that's true. I believe that that's also true, that they want to see one no matter what, because there are sometimes systems when they don't realize that they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And they go out, when they get an evaluation, they go out to the site. So, but I'll make sure with them, and then maybe add a sentence that says this is required no matter, or change this sentence.
Required regardless of, or
right.
Something like that, something put in the positive.
Yeah, okay.
Let's see. What else was it? Submittal comments. There's no indication in there with regards to submittal of a CD on the last page.
And this is going to change again some when we go to the new system, because you're going to be able to submit some applications online. And it's going to continue to expand as we go farther into that process. But yes, you're right. This should say CD.
And I assume that we can, as we work through this application, this particular checklist in real life, that we can let you know about any issues that come up. Amended accordingly.
And this is going to be separate like this, not part of all of our handouts anymore. So it should be easier to update, because right now we have to update, I don't know how many handouts we have, but it's a lot. So, yeah.
On the CEPA. Number 17 on the checklist here.
Mm-hmm.
It says completed CEPA checklist table. So some projects don't require CEPA.
Right.
So it probably should say unless exempt by WAC and then reference that WAC.
And that's one thing that we discussed while we were working on this, is that there are going to be other things on here that aren't going to apply to every project,
mm-hmm.
and that it would be, maybe there's a maybe there's an advisory note even at the beginning, Susan, that says not all submittal material may be required for every project. Please work with the case manager or planner or staff to clarify which may not be necessary. Something like that.
Okay. because sometimes...
You've got word craft a little bit.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where this checklist is supposed to be kind of a standalone thing. And if it's... I've had this before. I think, you know, we had applicants our application kicked out because we didn't show the well. Well, we didn't show it because it wasn't a well. But because it was on the checklist, because we didn't show the well, we got kicked out. This was a while ago. Yeah. So now we just put a note saying, no well.
Yep.
If it's on the checklist, then it depends on who's looking at it. If you have someone who's really experienced, let's say the county hires somebody new, this is going to be their education, their guide. If it says you need to complete a CEFA checklist, you're not going to be able to, you know, it's going to take a conversation every time.
And it
references the WAC, and you can put it in there, so exempt per blah, blah, blah.
Or you have something in the application that says not subject to CEFA based on.
Yeah.
And that's what we are.
I guess I'm just trying to look at this checklist as a standalone thing.
Yeah. And very similar to what the City of Vancouver does. If there's something on there that it doesn't apply to a project, I'll check with the planner.
Oh, yeah.
They'll say, yep, no problem. Same here. You know. It's,
and I'm sure you guys know this, but sometimes additional things are required in the pre-app.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sometimes things are waived through the pre-app, so that's another place to look.
And there was some language on one of these that I still think can apply to a few things. Things like, on the traffic study, unless otherwise specified by concurrency staff, the traffic study shall be submitted. So, again, you go back to the pre-app notes, and the pre-app will say it's over a certain number of trips you need.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, no, that's, you're fine with that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that works. Some good work here.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I'm going to come back next month, or maybe just email us and maybe show them that.
Sure.
I don't know if we want to continue having coming back here. Let's just email them.
Okay.
No one might be able to provide a recommendation.
Okay. All right.
Does that sound good, everyone?
Yeah.
That Susan amends it according based on our discussion here, and that she sends it out via email, and that we can make the recommendation via email.
So make a motion then.
Yeah.
There's one more though.
Oh yeah,
there. I didn't make it this. Yeah.
So this is the post decision review requirements, and I want to note that these two checklists will cover the majority of our applications, but we have a lot of type ones. They vary significantly, and so we're not proposing one list for all of those. Those will stay in the checklist, or in the handouts, I'm sorry, because they do really vary quite a bit. And some of the things we just talked about advisory notes and stuff like that, I will add that to this
okay.
one too. Yeah.
So number 10B, it says environmental on it within 100 feet of the site. That's kind of a
10B
broad term. Are we talking matters that might be listed in phase one? What are we talking about there?
Okay.
Typically what this means, Don, is oftentimes there might be off-site wetlands that have a buffer that extends onto the site and might affect the development of the site.
Okay.
This is oftentimes, most of the time, it's identified at pre-app by staff that that they need to look at that. Now, they rely heavily on GIS as far as identification of these areas are concerned. It's up to your consultant to, and even though they may not be able to go off-site and to delineate these, they use the best available information that they have. Oftentimes it's aerial photography and GIS information to ascertain what the classification of a particular wetland or stream might be, and provide their best guess as far as the type of buffer.
I guess where Doug's coming from, he's not talking about that. He's talking about the word environmental, it's very vague.
Oh, including USTs or?
Yeah,
you're talking about
wetland habitat areas.
Yeah, it's a wetland.
Environmental.
Say wetlands.
Oh, yes.
It could be shoreline, it could be geotech, it could be...
So critical areas?
Yeah.
Critical areas?
Critical areas.
Okay.
That would be better.
Listed as critical areas.
Sure. And then all of a sudden, though, and I guess you put that anyway, because you talk about slopes then, too.
Yeah.
So this was intended to be a note for environmental critical areas, like what habitat. Now, yeah. If you just say critical areas, we're also going to click the slopes. So,
Just a moment. They have it on your unstable slopes and landslide hazard areas.
Yeah.
Is part of
yeah, but this is under.
It's the same one.
Still 100 feet.
Yep.
Or on site.
On and within 100 feet of the site.
Okay.
So then it's any cover 2 feet with one stone then.
Yeah.
So
critical areas.
Well, hold on. No, it says unstable slopes and landslide hazard areas, CGIS map.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, it's under B. It's also under B.
Yep.
Okay. Critical areas. Yeah, I think that's a better change. Critical areas.
Okay. I mean, that doesn't necessarily include significant historic sites, but maybe.
Yeah.
That's not really such. Okay, good catch, Don. Thank you. There's many times we've looked at this.
Yeah. Well, and that's why sending additional comments by email afterwards.
Yeah, and if you guys have any other comments as you look through it, Eric, I might suggest giving this to your planners, having them go through it and provide any comments also.
All right. So,
do you want to carry that over then on proposed improvement plans and use the same terminology then? I'm assuming you would. It just says environmental and just say critical areas again.
Proposed improvement plans.
Page 4.
B, environmental.
On B.
Yeah.
I'll search for that.
Okay. I think the intent eventually is that everything's going to be submitted electronically. Okay. So how is that going to affect original SEPA and application forms signing? Are those going to be submitted separately? And this may be not an answer, a question to answer today, but those are some considerations. For instance, the city of Vancouver, the only things that we submit and hard copy or archaeological predeterminations because they still review them and mailing labels and that's it. They don't require any original signatures. So that's that's a policy issue that you guys might want to discuss.
Yeah. I think that we're also looking at accepting electronic signatures.
Yeah. Okay. That was going to be my next question.
Yeah.
It'd be really nice if that was
possible. Not everybody has those, I know. Ability to do that, so it's fairly new technology.
You can add DocuSign to any document if it's in a PDF form or even a Word doc form, so you can do it to pretty much anything and just add the box in to sign. The real estate community has been using it consistently for the last 3 years.
Okay.
So there's no bugs, I can tell you that. It's been Realtors live in that, so.
Yeah. And we're kind of in the time right now where we're figuring out some of those details, so I can let you know where that goes. I plan to come back with you guys. I don't think it's going to be in February. It's probably going to be in February to talk to you about some of the changes that we're going to be doing with LMS coming online. Yeah, I guess that needs to be in February because we're going live March 4th. Talk to you in more detail about those. So the other thing, and I did not get the documents out until last week, so I don't know if we're ready for this, but the initial table that I handed out, number 6, the PVSG looked at all of the boilerplate covenants and got comments from a few outside folks, and then I sent them out, like I said, last week, but you guys had a chance at all to look at them?
I just got back to the office today, so.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm about halfway through, and I had some comments. If you want, I can show you after we're done here so people don't have to listen to my picky.
Well, they're not super scintillating documents.
Example, like, for instance, just one thing, and I'm reading it. There's no legal issues in the documents I found. But for instance, it's called a covenant, and then it's used as a verb. This covenant, in this covenant, the owner's covenant that
noun.
And I think that's what Jean said too. It's inartfully crafted.
Okay.
Good thing Chris is retired.
Yeah, right.
It's not my word. I'll show you what I've come across.
Okay. Would it be helpful if we had a separate meeting with you guys just to go over those?
Sure, a phone call.
Okay. Don looks really excited.
Sorry, yeah.
Can I just hand you
red line?
You know what?
Or
if
just
you
red lines.
Send them to me as Word documents rather than PDFs.
Oh, sure.
I will just send you back my.
Okay.
I'll just send you a red line.
All right.
If you send it to me, Don, I can put mine on top of yours.
I can ride your coattails.
Yeah. To the extent I have any.
Sure.
Okay.
Because I'm sure I helped Chris draft the original ones.
All right.
All I'm going to do is just put in the margin. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a third thing. I reviewed this last time. I don't even think if you want another copy, I can hand it to you. But we're adding 2 things to our application form. They're currently on the wetland habitat application form. Then we're going to only have 1 application form for prelim. And it's site access. Is the site gated, yes or no? And do you want us to contact you before we go out to the site? It's 2 minor questions that we're adding to this, and then you only have to fill out 1 application form. And this will all continue to be fillable. So that was the other thing we wanted to talk about this time.
Okay.
All right, so I'll make the changes to all of these documents, send you guys Word versions, and I'll be back next month to finish up if you have any other items on this. And to talk to you a little bit more about some of the details about the LMS changes, which include narrative templates, which is one of these items that we talked about, a little bit more detail about how we're gonna do electronic submittals, and probably some other stuff.
My suggestion would be to talk with any of your contemporaries over at the City of Vancouver about how that's gone and what they hurdles they've had to get over and what's going well. Is there steal shamelessly all the good stuff?
Of course, yeah.
A question I have, and I feel like I've asked this question multiple times, and it given the transition from past staff to current staff, on the post-decision review, I know we've had discussions, and as I understood, it was like case-by-case basis for engineering running concurrently with the post-decision review. Would there be any benefit to having a box that it would be checked on here to say that there's a request that engineering could run concurrently with the post-decision review? Or?
You'd want to know that ahead of time before you do the work, I would think.
Okay.
that's typically been a discussion with staff.
So what we've been doing is people submit an email requesting 60-day or concurrent review. I send it to a few different people, including Greg and Allie and Brent Davis, ask them what they think. There was a period for a little while where we were just too jammed up. We couldn't do any, but we're back into accepting them. And I think it's been working okay. If it hasn't, let me know.
No, I just, not being one of these guys, I just wasn't sure how what that was looking like.
Okay.
Did we make it through the rest of this last time?
I think we did,
too. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
So you will be coming back?
I will.
Okay.
In February.
Are we going to talk about all of this, or are we going to try to get this stuff done and out the door?
I'll update these. You're right, because I said I was going to come back on these. But if you're okay with it, I'll just email them out. And if you have any other comments,
okay,
we can do it via email.
Yeah, I want to
get that. Is that all right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That is good work.
That's by the way, she did a lion's share of that one.
That's a concrete, positive thing for folks who file applications.
Good. Okay, so you can see some emails from me.
Do our annual meeting with the counselors.
What's that? Oh, yeah, we can
check that out.
That's right.
To our annual report.
Okay, with that. Jamie, do you have anything you'd like to share? I'm not going to try and pronounce the name.
Ruckelhaus.
Okay.
Yeah, Ruckelhaus Center. No, unfortunately, I had to not make it because of some other hearings scheduled. So I know, Eric, did you end up going?
Yes.
Do you want to give your...
It was a good discussion among a lot of different people in the community. There were a lot of different groups represented. It was always, there's kind of a divide, I think, between the rural property owners, urban property, environmental groups, developing community, and it kind of just went through on what's important to the community. I'll be curious to see what comes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think a few of these different things kind of renew the homes are different, and sometimes there's some changes, but it'd be interesting to see how the legislature actually takes this information and uses it in future legislation.
I did talk to Mr. Tovar. I think they're planning on doing some follow-up interviews as well as some possible convenings of group to digest all of these community conversations that they've had here in the next couple months, as well as they're going to be writing or synthesizing all this information into a draft report, and they expect to finalize it sometime in the June timeframe, which is probably after session's out, but we'll be ready for the 2020 session.
Okay. So that leads to us, Steve.
Yeah.
I know Steve's been reviewing over last year's minutes as far as what items we've kind of checked the box on. Like previous years, there's a lot of things that are carrying forward into this year. So then, I think like we talked about last meeting is, what do we, are there any items that we're wanting to, and Greg, tell me, if there's any items we want to identify that we want to add to our list of what we're tackling for this coming year. And this is presented in March, correct?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we've got a tentative date for the last Wednesday in March. So let me take a quick look at that. Should find that to be on the 27th. Once that's finalized, I'll send out an actual meeting invite.
Okay.
The last one, the chair their suggestions. Was there any significant changes from last time?
The only things, I mean, we had, and I'm not entirely done looking through, we had a significant add to the work plan suggestions, and that was the issue of moving to using the core offices in Portland rather than
Seattle. Yeah, I know we had that on our plan. What would be our role in that to support it, I guess? Not driving it necessarily, but I know there was a group that did, mm-hmm. I think it's through CRDC, which I've been pushing pretty hard.
Yeah, that was the only thing that really got added to the list that I have come across so far. I'm not by any means done. I went through and just kind of, mostly I was looking for what did we actually accomplish, what did we get to the point where we made motions, mm-hmm. and that, you know, policy level stuff, and then moved into just what have we been discussing, things that staff has presented to us, that type of stuff.
So my one general comment I had is some of the shortening or the abbreviations like CCLMS, mm-hmm. I don't know, we might want to spell that one out. Also RADUs, I mean, rural ADUs, but that's not quite a very common acronym. So we might want to spell out some of those on the plan. So this one I come to, so I'm going to do that exactly what we're talking about. That's the equivalent thing I really had on it. And that was on, let's see, so G monitoring items under number, last page under number 4 and 9. Just to make it a little clearer to follow, but otherwise, there's a name.
And I want to take a quick sidebar on that core discussion. I had a message from Dina Horton earlier today. There's a discussion at the WDFW building in Ridgefield on April 12th between 10 and 2 regarding Seattle district issues. Hmm. So we may want to note that.
Can you say that again, Jamie?
When is that?
April 12th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at WDFW up in Ridgefield.
In Ridgefield?
Yes.
And the discussion is?
Related to core permitting activities and how they may be able to do a better job for us. I think it's their way of playing defense, quite honestly.
Hmm.
Maybe if I could just to kind of suggest some targets on this. We've got a decent amount of time, of course, but I thought for today's meeting would be helpful for Steve and Terry, if Deeb had anything that they would, to contribute in what I'd say maybe is an initial draft. Typically, our practice has been that Steve would present the annual report for 2018, and then Terry will present the work plan for 2019-20. And so I think maybe a reasonable target is, say, by the February meeting, if respectively you'd be able to come in, Steve and Terry, with maybe a draft on those respective categories of report. And then we could use our February meeting to go, preview the draft and kind of work that. And then with the target being for the March meeting, that we would bring it in one last time and work what I would like to consider as maybe a final document, mm-hmm. and then I could get that to the board's office by early March, and then they'd have their couple of weeks to look at that before we actually come in on the 27th. So,
and if you guys can get that out and done with enough time, I would be more than happy to go through that versus what we've done throughout the year and just kind of check things off as a double check. I've done that last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, so I'd be happy to do it again.
As was requested.
But I'm not writing it this time.
Just to confirm, as was requested in the last meeting, so I sent a link that should take you directly into the DEED webpage, which is right there on the front page, has all the minutes and the agenda that we plowed through in 2018. So did everybody get that? Did the link work for you? So
I have notes and stuff that gives a little more information than just what the previous notes and agendas were. So.
Okay.
Did you use that link?
Yeah. I went in. I had most of them anyways because I save them on my computer work. But.
Okay. We're done pretty early.
You're cruising.
Yeah.
Well, that was a good move to have Terry as one of the
other. Yeah.
I've been doing that for a couple more years.
Any public comment? Is there one of the things that we don't, I was just thinking for next month, I know the 179th Street stuff is moving forward pretty quickly. Is that anything that we want to bring in here and talk about? There's a work, Jamie, I don't know if you saw this, there's a work session for February 7th.
It's kind of a done deal.
Agenda, right?
We've looked at it, but I mean.
Anything we need to go over at that?
I don't know.
Nope. Okay.
What more we could do as far as public-private partnership with developers.
I mean, I think that those agreements will be proceeding forward and see what happens.
Yeah. Okay.
So one thing that you might want to consider adding to our agenda is a functional oversight committee. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of wrapping up, that group is wrapping up their recommendations, and it's probably ready for us to look at before it goes to the board. We should probably look at it before it's fully, and this might be our only next shot, actually. So maybe we can try to add that to the meeting.
I'll get with Mitch on that.
February?
Yeah, February. Because I guess they're trying to adopt it by March or April.
Yeah,
like
they're actually starting a test budget.
So,
that's for the
rural.
Same federal.
Rural. Same federal. Yeah, on tax
lots.
Yeah. And it's changing quite a bit, the process. I'm just going to be a pre-app. That's kind of the main change. And so you're going to have a pre-app, and you're going to have to submit a certain amount of information at the pre-app. And then the idea is that if you have a complete application at the pre-app, then it's going to be a quick review after that. But just a little more process, but a little more certainty and guidance is kind of my take on it.
Sounds to me like there's going to be probably need to be a public outreach and educational component to this to let those that do this know what to do. Okay.
Yeah, we can talk about that more next meeting too. I think we should add it too, just to kind of give a little preview, and maybe we can get the checklist and stuff too. And we can provide any feedback we have. I know Phil's in here as part of that.
I have, and Ryan.
Maybe we can invite Ryan up here. He's going to be active in it. So other people who have participated kind of be, you know, guest speakers on it. Contribute to the conversation.
Sounds good. Okay. With that.
All right.
Being adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Quick. That was Australian.